You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, let's do this thing. 7:07 in the morning. You're on 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. Wake Up Tucson. If you missed the first segment, you missed waking up.
Yeah, waking up Tucson.
I came out with both barrels blazing, as we say, on that first segment.
And what Christy Simone stands for.
That's pretty much what happened.
That was my note for the podcast, and that's what it was. So if you want to know, tell your friends. They can listen to it.
Where do they go for podcasts, Ed?
Well, you can go to our website, right? KVOI.com.
Very nice.
They're not really on yours. Yours will take them there anyhow. So KVOI.com. Right on top says podcast. Do it. Listen. That kind of thing.
Very nice.
Would be the
you're a pro.
The 17th hour one.
So. Hey, our next happy hour is Adriana's birthday party at Charo Vita.
Yes,
we'll be there 5:30 to 7:30 on October 3rd. It's a Thursday night. Let Adriana know you're coming at wutevents@gmail.com. And don't forget, please, you guys have been amazing for the last 5 months. Water for the Sister Jose Women's Shelter on Park and 22nd. If you're going past the store, it's $3 a case for freaking water. But buy them five cases and drop it off. My restaurateurs that maybe go to that Restaurant Depot place, go grab another 10 cases and stop by and drop it off to Gene and the ladies. So they're very appreciative, and you're saving lives this summer. So great job. We got the Tucson AdFed Hall of Famers coming up at 8 o'clock, a annual tradition here at Wake Up Tucson. And then, of course, tradition is talking local food. And Ryan Clark, Casino del Sol, coming off, check this, Ed, the five-day weekend.
No.
Is this true, Ryan Clark?
He
was working Saturday.
So you just came back from a bachelor party, correct?
Yeah, brother's getting married.
Your brother's getting married.
We're sending him off.
and how many days was this bachelor party?
Oh, we left late Thursday night.
That's a five-day weekend, buddy.
We got back Monday, so it was pretty good. It was a lot of fun.
And what'd you guys do?
We went up to a festival. My brother's a big outdoors guy, so went up to a festival in Flagstaff called Pickin' in the Pines. It was a banjo festival.
Nice.
Absolutely amazing. A couple days up there, and then we cruised down to Sedona. Had a really nice house there and got some Jeeps and did some off-roading. And, of course, I cooked, did a lot of meals, but it was a great time.
Very cool. Congratulations to your brother.
Yeah.
When's the actual day?
October 12th, so just around the corner.
Where's the reception?
We're actually doing a brunch kind of kickball thing. It's going to be a lot of fun. You can come crash it.
You're doing a brunch kickball reception for your brother's wedding.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
A little different.
Wow. Yeah, wait till the bride gets a ball in the nose. Then you guys will say, oh, this is a great idea.
I think it was her idea. She's crazy. they're definitely a pair. So wishing them the best. It's going to be good.
So all of a sudden, this is a very interesting idea, Ryan Clark. You are, can I say, roaming tailgates at the U of A.
I'm cruising the tailgates.
And what are you doing at these tailgates, sir?
So we are at every single U of A home game this season, and we're cruising around the tailgate on main gate lawn only, and we're tasting food to find the next Soul Bowl tailgate champion. So we're looking for the best tailgate food.
So what does that mean, the Soul Bowl?
So Soul Bowl is a new program that we put together. It's a promo in partnership with University of Arizona Athletics. And basically, we're awarding the best tailgate every single week.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, the champion gets to come out on the field with me before the first half in front of all the fans. We're live up on the jumbo screen. They're getting $500 in gift cards to local farmers markets, compliments at Casino del Sol. And then they're also getting an official Soul Bowl tailgate champion chef apron that they can sport and wear at their tailgate games.
So very cool. Nice. So what are you seeing out there now? What are you seeing in the early stages of this?
The food's been awesome. I mean, Tucsonans and U of A and Wildcats, they really come out, cook some amazing food. Tailgates are a lot of fun. There's good energy. It's exciting. But some of the best things that we've had, I mean, week one, the winner did this amazing Italian sausage that they made completely from scratch. So we're really looking for people that have those culinary skills. I mean, you know, chefs these days get a lot of attention and praise for what they do, which is awesome. But like the home cook doesn't get that as much. So
sure.
This is something I really wanted to bring out there and show that, you know, the home cooks can really throw down too.
So people listening now who are trying to do tailgate stuff, what are some of the common mistakes that folks make when they're going to go do the tailgate? And we'll talk about what they can do better after that. What's some of the common mistakes that when they finally get out there and try to execute it in a parking lot or on the main mall, it just doesn't translate?
I think they just go too big. Don't do too much, and have your mise en place. That's something that we say in the chef's kitchen, a French term for everything in its place. So that's having everything prepared. So, you know, you can have your vegetables diced or your sauces made, even start some of your meats that are lower and slower cooking, and bring everything kind of ready so that when you execute it at the tailgate, you don't have to bring, you know, a whole kitchen and giant army to do it. And you can have fun and relax and hang out with your friends and family.
So a buddy of mine was looking for a line cook, and the guy brings his resume, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you just said the magic word, you know, mise en place.
Yeah.
Right? This kid put mice in place. He spelled it mice in place.
Nice.
And my buddy George is like, I don't know if that's really going to get me appetite. This feels appetizing to hire this young man if he's doing mice in place at my restaurant. But so what are some of the types of recipes or things that people can do that, you know, can be a good winner? Because it's got to hold, right? That's also very important also, right? You don't want something that's going to go.
Yeah, exactly. Well, one of the cool things is you can go to CasinoDelSol.com/Soul Bowl, and I've got recipes that I'm launching every single week.
Okay.
So we've already got two up there for the week one and week two, and we just keep launching recipes every single week, not just the home games. So you can see some of the recipes that I've put together for tailgate. Obviously, you have your staples on there like ribs, chicken wings, pulled pork, we've got burgers, sliders,
you figure anything
all that kind
that's
of stuff.
A slow cooker thing that you can put on a bun or a tortilla
mm-hmm.
has got to be a winner.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, that's what we got here today. A little snack I brought
in
for breakfast.
What do you got here, buddy? That's okay.
So this is a slow-cooked chicken that we cooked in some house-made barbecue sauce. I've got some of my spice blend that we kind of rubbed on it, and then a little bit of local whiskey in there, too.
What kind of local whiskey?
We got the Del Bach, so a little Del Bach classic. I'm a big pepper jack guy. I like a little bit of spice, so I've got some pepper jack cheese on there.
You're Ryan Clark, for God's sake. You're going to use pepper jack.
Got to have the Southwest influence, you know? But yeah, just, you know, something that you can do quickly and easily. And then we've got more creative recipes on the website, too, that you can check out. This week we're launching our next week's recipe, which is actually a hummus. So you can make the hummus ahead of time with roasted peppers, and then served with that hummus is a bunch of local vegetables from the heirloom farmers market that we're just lightly grilling, almost like a crudité,
right?
But it gives it that nice char.
So the last time I was, I haven't done too many tailgates, but the one time that I know I did a winner was we did slow cooker, we did Boston butt pork, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I did a carnitas kind of thing. Orange juice, fresh jalapenos, garlic, onion kind of thing.
Sounds awesome.
Got tortillas from Anita Street Bakery.
Mm-hmm.
And then basically had like a little flat top to heat those up.
Perfect.
Have a nice little pickled onion.
Perfect. I love it.
And it was so easy.
I love it.
So you're right. Simpler the better.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, we get down there to the tailgate and people are pulling us over and wanting to, you know, show us what they've got and just tasting the different food. And it's just cool because it's not like it's a bunch of stuff just sitting in, you know, hot boxes. I mean, they're cooking this food fresh, and sometimes we've been jumping on the grill with them and cooking with them. It's a great show, and it's exciting. It's a lot of fun.
It's good to get you out of the casino and hanging out with the folks. That's what I like.
I mean, I'm a huge Wildcat fan, so, you know, I might have had a little bit of input on this program so I can get down to the home game. So
I like that. It kills a lot of birds in one stone. Ed Alexander is waving his hand furiously behind you.
Well, not furiously, but almost.
You look like Kermit the Frog.
Two things. First of all, so I Googled Casino del Sol recipes, and boom, up it comes. Okay. So there are really two great recipes here already that I'm going to bookmark. The Dragoon IPA glazed pork ribs, and then the other one that was the next day. What the heck am I doing here?
You got it. You almost had it.
Let's week
go down
two,
a little
week
more.
One is, I'm
keep
lost.
Going, go, keep going. There's
two.
There's week two.
And week one is,
right there. Chorizo verde
and kimchi slaw.
Kimchi.
That too. I don't care.
It doesn't matter. It's good.
Slaw, right? How cool. So these are recipes right now you can amaze your friends with. The other thing is, I want to say, Ryan, either you're lying or we're lying Saturday night, but I thought you were on the field as usual at halftime, giving the winner the thing.
You know, with the bro getting married, I had to take him out, but we had one of our other chefs from Casino del Sol down.
I think it was an IMG hologram.
I think it was a I would have swore it was you. I go, I know that guy, but it wasn't even you.
It was really pulling teeth trying to get one of the other chefs to volunteer and taste food and hang out at the football game, I'll tell you.
Was the bigger problem they didn't want to stand in front of 40,000 people in a stadium?
You had to have the right personality for sure.
So who filled in for you?
Chef Chase does a phenomenal job at our Festa buffet. He's been with the casino for 7+ years. So.
Gotcha.
Yeah, really good guy.
A fun idea. Real fun idea.
And the last question I have, what are you wearing? Are you wearing your chef's outfit when you're trolling around?
Yeah, I got the chef's outfit on. It's a little warm, so hopefully it starts to cool down here. But
big hat, pretty big hat or baseball cap?
No hat.
Look at the hair. He's got cool hair.
Covered.
This guy looks like Jeremy Renner from the Avengers movies. You ever notice that?
Oh, jeez.
Looks like Hawkeye.
But I do. I got
like a junior in college, man.
I got this sweet swag that Chef Works hooked me up with. It's a U of A embroidered chef coat. It's pretty sweet.
Look at that.
Pretty sweet. So.
Well, good to see you as always, sir.
Yeah, this is
a great idea. And like I said, just when you think we aren't doing something a little different in relation to cuisine in this town, I got you walking around tailgates. I think it's a great idea.
Come out and see us.
All right, Ryan.
Thanks.
Rest up, buddy.
Appreciate it.
When's the actual wedding?
October 12th.
Okay. Yeah. So you got about 3 weeks to rest up before the big kickball game.
It's going
to
be good.
So, all right, man. Good
Thanks.
Luck.
Thanks, guys.
Chef Ryan Clark. When we come back, Ed, we're going to play, what should we do? Let's play the PragerU video. For all you people that say the Electoral College needs to go in the toilet bowl.
Yeah, to Constitution Day today, so we should get rid of the Constitution,
Let's play the PragerU video when we come back. Wake up, Tucson, 10:30, The Voice. Constitution Day today, observed the third Sunday, formerly is an American federal observance that recognized the adoption of the U.S. Constitution and those who have become citizens, normally observed on September 17th, the day that in 1787 the delegates to the Constitutional Convention signed the document in Philadelphia. So I was thinking about this. A big thing you're going to hear, and even the person leading off the PragerU video of getting rid of it, of course, is Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Supreme Court Justice. She loves the letter of the law so much that she said, let's get rid of the Electoral College.
It must be global warming. It's got to be. I mean, people's brains are going crazy these days.
So I wanted to do this PragerU video, and we love Dennis Prager, is the idea of why we have an Electoral College and why it is essential. So let's, for happy Constitution Day to you all. Charles Heller, a big Constitution day. It was funny, my daughter's AP language teacher last year up at CDO would hand everyone their little free Constitution, the little pamphlet thing.
Yeah.
And he called it, here's your pocket freedom, is what he would hand all the kids.
There you go.
So I'm not going to say his name because I'm sure handing that out will get him in trouble with AmFi school board. All right.
Constitution
of the United States. PragerU, why the Electoral College is essential. Wake up.
Well, some things that I would like to change. One is the Electoral College.
The Electoral College needs to go.
And maybe we might want to take a look at the whole Electoral College.
I think it needs to be eliminated. I'd like to see us move beyond it, yes.
Yeah. And that means get rid of the Electoral College.
Yeah!
This is why the left is wrong.
I want to talk to you about the Electoral College and why it matters. All right, I know this doesn't sound like the most sensational topic of the day, but stay with me because I promise you it's one of the most important. To explain why requires a very brief civics review. The President and Vice President of the United States are not chosen by a nationwide popular vote of the American people. Rather, they are chosen by 538 electors. This process is spelled out in the United States Constitution. Why didn't the founders just make it easy and let the presidential candidate with the most votes claim victory? Why did they create And why do we continue to need this Electoral College? The answer is critical to understanding not only the Electoral College, but also America. The founders had no intention of creating a pure majority rule democracy. They knew from careful study of history what most have forgotten today or never learned. Pure democracies do not work. They implode. Democracy has been colorfully described as two wolves and a lamb voting on what's for dinner. In a pure democracy, bare majorities can easily tyrannize the rest of the country. The founders wanted to avoid this at all costs. This is why we have three branches of government: executive, legislative, and judicial. It's why each state has two senators, no matter what its population, but also different numbers of representatives based entirely on population. It's why it takes a supermajority in Congress and three-quarters of the states to change the Constitution. And it's why we have the Electoral College. Here's how the Electoral College works. The presidential election happens in two phases. The first phase is purely democratic. We hold 51 popular elections every presidential election year, one in each state and one in D.C. On election day in 2012, you may have thought you were voting for Barack Obama or Mitt Romney, but you were really voting for a slate of presidential electors. In Rhode Island, for example, if you voted for Barack Obama, you voted for the state's four Democratic electors. If you voted for Mitt Romney, you were really voting for the state's four Republican electors. Part two of the election is held in December, and it is this December election among the state's 538 electors, not the November election, which officially determines the identity of the next president. At least 270 votes are needed to win. Why is this so important? Because the system encourages coalition building and national campaigning. In order to win, a candidate must have the support of many different types of voters from various parts of the country. Winning only the South or the Midwest is not good enough. You cannot win 270 electoral votes if only one part of the country is supporting you. But if winning were only about getting the most votes, a candidate might concentrate all of his efforts in the biggest cities or the biggest states. Why would that candidate care about what people in West Virginia or Iowa or Montana think? But, you might ask, isn't the election really only about the so-called swing states? Actually, no. If nothing else, safe and swing states are constantly changing. California voted safely Republican as recently as 1988. Texas used to vote Democrat. Neither New Hampshire nor Virginia used to be swing states. Most people think that George W. Bush won the 2000 election because of Florida. Well, sort of. But he really won the election because he managed to flip one state which the Democrats thought was safe, West Virginia. Its four electoral votes turned out to be decisive. No political party can ignore any state for too long without suffering the consequences. Every state, and therefore every voter in every state, is important. The Electoral College also makes it harder to steal elections. Votes must be stolen in the right state in order to change the outcome of the Electoral College. With so many swing states, this is hard to predict and hard to do. But without the Electoral College, any vote stolen in any precinct in the country could affect the national outcome, even if that vote was easily stolen in the bluest California precinct or the reddest Texas one. The Electoral College is an ingenious method of selecting a president for a great, diverse republic such as our own. It protects against the tyranny of the majority, encourages coalition building, and discourages voter fraud. Our founders were proud of it. We can be too. I'm Tara Ross for Prager University.
So when you hear what Tara was just talking about, and all of these folks that are suffering from TDS, Trump Derangement Syndrome, keep walking around saying, kill the Electoral College, they've lost their minds. It's against everything they talk about. When you hear all these folks, they always want to scream fairness and equality.
You know, the fat cats are going to run everything.
Yeah. Correct?
Yeah.
Well, if you really get rid of the Electoral College and you have a country that's run by New York, Boston, and California, and Chicago, you'll have a civil war within 10 years because the rest of the country ain't putting up with that crap. CBS and Bloomberg coming up. 790-2040. Steve Rivera. As we say in New York, eye on the bull, 6 p.m. Weekdays here. Steven, good morning.
Good morning. How do they say it in Boston?
So that'd be eye on the ball. Eye on the ball. University of Arizona played the Texas Tech Red Raiders, and contrary to everyone's popular belief who thought it was going to be the 58-55 fight out, we got a 28-14 ball game. What happened, Steve Rivera, in this game?
Arizona happened to show up and played well enough to win 28-14. I have no other explanation other than Arizona was ready, and Texas Tech wasn't as good as we thought it would be.
The let's talk about, did Kevin Sumlin and the coaching staff learn something and get better off of the NAU and Hawaii game? Did we see, because that's always important, did we make modifications to be better the next time?
Yes. I don't think that's a question. In fact, that's very good of them. Yes. And they also learned that you have to play hard every down to become a better team.
Right.
They didn't do that against NAU.
Ed Alexander.
That's a good point. You got to play to win. You have to always keep playing, never give up. And that's been a problem with U of A in the last couple of years. But they, it was a fun game on Saturday night. It's always fun when you win, right?
Yes.
So these kids over at AllSportsTucson.com had a thing that's a little headline that said Khalil Tate returns as a runner. Is this something that he needs to stop making him a pocket passer and he needs to do both?
Well, there's no question he needs to do both. We all know that he's a better runner than he's a passer. If you saw the game, he misfired in a few throws. But his weapon of choice, or everyone's weapon of choice from him, is a run. He needs to run more. I think that Arizona will be much better if he does that.
I was watching the a little bit in the morning of the Cardinal-Baltimore game between, of course, Kyler Murray. And what's the Baltimore quarterback, the guy from Louisville? Who was a Heisman?
Watson?
No.
Is it Watson?
Not Watson.
The quarterback?
Yeah, I'll figure it out. But you could see how they were using that guy, similar traits to Khalil, right? Can throw, but also an unbelievable runner.
Yes.
And it's kind of the and you can see that they timed it beautifully, spacing out little option fake handoffs up the middle and then run off the corner, and the guy would chew up 19 yards right there, and then, of course, keep the Cardinals unbelievably honest. So that's why I kind of think, start using this guy like that. Let's move on with our lives.
Yeah, I think that there's that hope to do it.
Lamar Jackson's his name. I can't believe I spaced
it. Yeah, Jackson. That's it. Yeah, I think that there's a hope to do that, but accuracy has been a problem. Decision-making has been a problem. He's capable. It's just making the right decisions.
Now, how about the defense? Because, of course, they've been letting up a lot of points, let up 41 to NAU, 40-something or 50 to Hawaii. It was Texas Tech just not as good as everyone thought? What improvements did we see in the defense?
Well, I think, again, I don't think Texas Tech was as good as people thought. They beat two teams that were not very good coming into the game. You also see that the quarterback from Texas Tech played injured in the second half.
What was his injury?
Well, he's out for a few weeks now.
Okay.
He got hurt, I guess, in the second half with his shoulder or clavicle or something that now he's out for a while. But he continued to play. I guess he's going to try to tough it out.
And now we have a bye week this week, and then we come back with UCLA at home on a night game. So what's UCLA looking like going into this game?
They're looking like Bisbee High School.
Like poop. Yes, thank you. Yes.
So the idea is the Cats could escape September with a 4-1 record. Is that what we're talking about here?
Yes, very much so.
Or 3-1. 3-1.
3-1. 3-1. 3-1 with Colorado looming, so there's a possibility. I hate to look ahead, but there's a chance. As they say in the Dumb and Dumber movie, you say there's a chance.
Right.
Yes, there is.
So if we go back to our when we had you in August start guessing win-losses, this could be a game that I think you guys, you might have called a loss that now that we know UCLA is worse than we think could be a win.
Yes, correct. Correct. The thing is, I thought that Hawaii was a win. So.
Well, I know. It all balances out, Grasshopper.
It does.
So I saw a headline recently this week about U of A basketball, right? That because of the recruits are so good and what's happening, it's going to be another great season for U of A basketball. Is that what we're leaning into here?
I want to know where you saw that headline.
Probably from one of your competitors.
I don't remember seeing that headline. Say the headline again. Would be great again.
Like basically with all the great recruiters, it's going to be another great standard U of A basketball season.
They will be better than they have been in the past, recent past, which gives people hope here in this town, and you can never live without hope. But I think they're in the right direction because of the recruits. They're going to be young. You coached. It's always tough playing with young kids. You have to depend on 18, 19-year-old kids to get you where you need to go. Good luck with that.
What's going on with your show later today? What do you want? What are you going to talk? I'm not going to ask you who's on the show. Who? What are you going to be talking about?
More football, probably. I have a guest. I want to say who it is. But it's kind of like a weird week with the bye, basketball looming. Just kind of ad libbing this at least tonight.
All right. Well, check this guy out 6 to 7 every night here at KVOI. It's called Eye on the Ball. His name is Steve Rivera. Steve, thanks for the knowledge, man. I appreciate it.
Good morning, guys. Thanks.
Later, buddy. 7:42 in the morning. Christy Simone, Ed Alexander. We got the AdFed Hall of Famers coming up at the top of the hour. I'll give you a little preview of the Pima County Board of Soups meeting that's happening in about an hour and 18 minutes. Also, it might be something that if you're a TUSD teacher that has some maybe kids with some discipline issues, this might be one that you should take the kid out and take them down to the board meeting, and I'll explain why. And then we'll go over a listener's property tax bill in relation to how much it's gone up since he bought the house.
No. Up? I'm about to keep going down. I thought we had a tax decrease. We have the rate increase. We have whatever Chuck says it is.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Tucson Show, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. Remember, if you're missing anything, go to KVOI.com. The green room is already swelling, Ed, with AdFed Hall of Achievement,
folks.
Hall of
Famers. Look at this. Yeah.
And it's funny, Don Rigoli, who's one of the inductees, was saying, didn't we play in a golf thing 19 years ago?
You just mentioned that, right?
He did. So.
And then the boss is back.
That's true.
Walking around like he owns the place.
Thank you very much. Welcome back to Tucson, Arizona, Ed Alexander. We got some things. We got a Pima County board meeting. I'm going to give you a real round.
It will not be televised on the stream. You have to go to someplace else to get it today.
Why?
Because there's a problem with their equipment. We don't have enough money to buy video equipment at the...
How much money goes to the communications department?
Yeah, baby, $2 million.
$2 million?
$2 million. Can't buy a camera.
And we can't show you the actual... meeting.
Can't buy me love, as they say.
So it's Pima. It's Peace Day. They're celebrating International Peace Day.
Hold on. They just take care of business? Do they have to have a damn parade every time they have a meeting? One of those guys can get up and put a sash around himself and go, "Look at me, I'm international." You know, I take care of all the poor people on my side of town.
So what's going to happen is, it sounds like...
Come on.
Here it is. So we're going to have is...
That's Constitution Day, okay? That's what it is. They're going to have a Peace Day thing?
Well, it's this Saturday coming up is International Day of Peace.
What about Constitution
Day? In Pima County. I don't know if it is for the rest of the country. But what's going to happen is Richard Knoll's going to be there, and the Ramo Drum Circle.
Well, there you go.
So I pray to God, and it just sucks that they're not going to stream it now.
Right? I know.
I pray the drum circle's there, and if it is, isn't this, we have these restorative circles at TUSD that don't work. Maybe the next level is the drum circle. So, Lawrence, if you're listening, you got a kid at Valencia Middle School that keeps mouthing off or not showing up to class. Maybe you take him and his parents out of school right now to the drum circle. And maybe Richard Knoll and Richard Elias might be.
Elias,
I'm sure he'll help you.
I'm sure.
you know, he's a big help to the Hispanic kids of Pima County. Then we have, remember, so we know that not having a, quote, they feel like not having that sham of a law enforcement committee is not good for, as Chuck's playing all these games with the Stone Guard money because he wants less money to go to cops and more to go to the asylum seekers and stuff.
Has to have more moving pieces.
So what happened was, I'm sure Chuck told Ramon to request to Chuck. This is how it works.
Uh-huh.
Chuck says, hey, Ramon, be useful. Request that we have a discussion about this so I can, you know, we can get this thing back going again. So that's going to happen today.
They're going to bring that back.
Correct.
Well, they have to have something to hide behind for their charades. I mean, that's what they do there.
So we'll see.
You're not supposed to see any
We'll see what form that's going to take. Originally, we heard that they were going to do they're going to do a, it's come back to me now. I saw something like maybe it wouldn't be, like one of the options could be have it report to Mark, not have it subject to open meeting laws, but not really make anything that's a decision that could go anywhere in relation to the Board of Supes. We've heard that we'll just have a majority appoint to this instead, because Allie and Steve, even, the funny part is Sharon has two people who don't even go to the meetings. Right, but so now they want it that probably they'll have the three Dems just name everybody on it if Steve and Allie don't want to play ball with their stupid Isabel Garcia ranting and raving about how cops beat up brown people.
Because they can't get anything done in the damn committee because people are always grandstanding.
So that's going on today. So then a let's call it a concerned citizen up on the northwest side of town keeps track of his property taxes. Right, just to see what's going on here. So he sent this over to me last night. So what happened was, if you take where they say his piece of his house is, property is, since he bought it, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's according to the assessed value, so they get your money out. Now, remember, for all you rookies,
yes,
there's the assessed value, right? And then there's the property tax. These are the two games that get played. So when you'll see, your assessment went down, the Board of Supes will usually raise the taxes to keep the amount of money that they need flowing for all their little things, other than fixing roads, paying cops, or making parks green.
It's their play money.
Okay.
Millions and billions and yes.
So this listener does the analysis that since he bought it 14 years ago, according to Pima County, right, it's up 64% since 2003.
His property value is up 64%.
Right.
Okay.
So this is a nice three-bedroom house in a nice area of Oral Valley, but this is not like in the – this is not Stone Canyon. This is just a nice –
he's not on a golf course or anything.
He's like a neighborhood like I'm in it, that kind of neighborhood, right?
Okay.
And this is not my house. This is somebody else. He would – if you Zillowed it, it's about a 270 house, okay? But if you went by Pima County standards, it's a $400,000 house.
Really?
Just to show you that, again
– really?
You wouldn't mind getting a 64% price increase if you thought maybe your money was going to something normal. So then I saw that we have – I didn't – I 10 years doing the show, and I never brought this up until now. Okay. We have a people who get their property taxes waived, right? Now, some of them are widows. It says widows, disabled, or widowers that truly can't afford their property taxes. Now, that's an interesting name. I got to look that one up.
Mm-hmm.
So there's about 20 individuals who are getting their taxes waived by Pima County today. But then I look down, and then there says nonprofit organization exemptions, which I didn't know they did that.
Nonprofit exemption, okay.
All right. So one is a church. One is the Episcopal Church of the Apostles is getting their property taxes waived. Okay.
Waived, not reduced, waived.
Right. Greater. Mm. And then the other one's called greatergood.org is getting their greater.
They might not even have any property if they're just online.
Greatergood.org Looks like they have a gift catalog. They protect people, pets, and the planet.
Oh, well.
Well, anyway, greatergood.org is listed as a group that's getting their property taxes waived by Pima County. Tax exemption waives. They have a petition requesting a redemption of a waiver of tax exemption. Approval of waivers would allow the taxpayer to apply for tax exemption with the assessor. So the other one that I thought was interesting that's applying to get their property taxes waived is the Foundation for Creative Broadcasting, KXCI.
Yeah, the
community station.
They want to get their taxes reduced.
Right.
Because they're a nonprofit. Is all nonprofits getting? Is that what you're saying?
It's just three. Two nonprofits and a church that are getting their, they're getting approved to get their taxes waived.
These are favorites of who? How do these guys get it?
So that's why KXCI, which again, I know it's a community radio station, right, but pretty much is an echo chamber for the far left in this town.
Yeah, and the whole downtown people.
Right.
Yeah.
Somehow they're getting their taxes waived.
Imagine
by Pima
that.
County. Today.
Imagine that. Planned Parenthood will be next, and then we're done. And then there's nothing else to see here.
So I thought that was an interesting interesting little tidbit. And the Pima, this is what happens when you read the agendas of these folks.
You're not supposed to look at this
I know,
stuff, okay?
I know. Then we had, this is a shack. Oh, no,
which goes back to, friends, I must say, the first hour of the show today, the Christy Simone, why Christy Simone does this kind of thing this morning, what Chris stands for. You need to go back and listen to the podcast, 6 o'clock, the first hour of the show today, 9/17/19. It's not going to be up till probably about noon or so, but you really do. You really need to remember what the landscape of this thing is, from the Chamber of Commerce to the Board of Supervisors to everything in between, and who's what, who's telling you what, who's not telling you anything, who's making up and covering up.
Right.
And that is basically most of the media in this town. And you need to listen to it. You really, and you need to put it on podcast or something like that, because it's...
Maybe we'll YouTube it.
Kind of says it like it is. So just saying, because you're not going to read this in the paper where KXCI is going to get a break, or one of these other people. You're not going to read that. Why not?
No, maybe
all
they
have is space.
Maybe there's a good reason for KXCI to get it.
I don't care, but that's a pretty good, you know, how comes these three people were singled out or whatever?
Right.
I mean, this is a story, but you'll never see it anywhere. You certainly won't see it in the paper. Okay? They don't do reporting like that. They cover for the other side. That's all it is. It's too bad. But we got to call them out on it. Sorry. Thank
That's
you.
Okay.
You I need to go check the podcast, 1 o'clock, the first hour of Wake Up Tucson today.
The other one is this Danielle story in The Star about this top official from the U.S. Department of Education that stopped by University High.
Right.
It's the really good school next to Rincon.
Right. Right.
Sorry, Rangers.
We told you yesterday he was coming.
Now, here's the interesting part is that the guy kept on saying I saw it in the press release that he was visiting a charter school called University High. It's not a charter school.
It's not a charter school.
This I don't know. And so it's so funny. Now, it says this. A Star reporter told Stump after the news, like, they can't tell you who the Star reporter is. The Star reporter can't tell you who the Star reporter is who asked this question, told this guy that it's a public school, not a charter.
This is that public information knowledge. We can't let this out. The name of this is dumb. That's how a person undisclosed, whatever it is. And that's how they report an undisclosed, sir, or the two words that you did this morning, if true, and the other one was sources say, right? So we can't tell you who the source is. Right. That's the big deal. National news these days. The New York Times, the Washington Post. Sources say, I ain't going to tell you who.
And then West Mountain Grant near Stone, right in the middle of Pliskin Acres, We had another person run over on their bicycle.
On their bicycle. We had somebody ran into the department yesterday morning.
Remember? I saw that picture
with a car.
KVOA. That was pretty wild. All right, we got Hall of Famers galore.
Ooh, let's do that part. I know. I don't know what that was. Let's do that.
What are we going to do?
Go to news.
Thank you.
News and information.
Hall Achievement, AdFed, coming up next.